So the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is full of transcendental taste. So when we are chanting in different melodies, we're experiencing some ras. That ras is there in different moods. Like here we are chanting happily, and before Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then there's more sweetness in the mellow. So different mellows, different rasas come out, and especially in kirtan. In kirtan, we are feeling that somehow or other we are being swept up together. Together we are chanting, and together the energy of the chanting carries us, and we somehow or other become absorbed and feel uplifted. That is the potency of sankirtan, of congregational chanting, where we together share our mood, our enthusiasm. Krishna mantra hai tave sansara mochan, Krishna nama hai te pave Krishna charan. Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one can obtain freedom from material existence. Indeed, simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one will be able to see the lotus feet of the Lord. Nama bine kali kale nayura dharma sarva mantra sadhanam eshastra manma. In this age of Kali, there is no religious principle other than the chanting of the holy name, which is the essence of all Vedic hymns. This is the purport of all scriptures. Eta bale eka shoka shikaila more kanta kare shoke kare ho vichare. After describing the potency of the Hare Krishna mantra, my spiritual master taught me another verse advising me to always keep it within my throat. Everyone, Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Hari Nama eva kevalam kalo nase eva nase eva nase. For spiritual progress in this age of Kali, there is no alternative. There is no alternative. There is no alternative to the holy name. The holy name. The holy name of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada also in his purport is addressing the same point. He says, for progress in spiritual life, the Shastras recommend meditation in Satya Yuga, sacrifice for the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu in Treta Yuga, and gorgeous worship of the Lord in the temple in Dwapara Yuga. But in the age of Kali, one can achieve spiritual progress only by chanting the holy name of the Lord. This is confirmed in various scriptures. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there are many references to this fact. In the 12th canto, 351, it is said, Kali dosa nite rajan asti eko mahanguna kirtana eva krishnasya mukta sangaparambhajet. In this age of Kali, there are many folds, for people are subjected to many miserable conditions. Yet in this age, there is one great benediction. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one can be freed from all material contamination. And thus be elevated to the spiritual world. The Narada Pancharatna also praises the Hare Krishna mantra as follows. Trayo Veda Sarangani Chandamsi Vida Sura sarvam astak sarantastam yaschanyat apivan mayam sarvavedanta sarata sansara nirvatamana. The essence of all Vedic knowledge, comprehending the three kinds of Vedic activity, karmakanda, jnanakanda, and upasanakanda, the chandas or the Vedic hymns, and the processes for satisfying the demigods, is included in the eight syllables of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. This is the reality of all Vedanta. The chanting of the holy name is the only means to cross the ocean of nescience. Similarly, Kali Santaran Upanishad states, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. These 16 names composed of 32 syllables are the only means to counteract the evil effects of Kali Yuga. In all Vedas, it is seen that to cross the ocean of nescience, there is no alternative to the chanting of the holy name. Similarly, Sri Madhavacharya, while commenting on the Taka Upanishad, has quoted the following verse from the Narayan Samhita. Vaparya janarifi syu pancha ettas tukevilai kalo tunama matrina pujayate bhagavan hari. In Dwarpa Yuga, one would satisfy Krishna or Vishnu only by worshipping him gorgeously, according to the Pancharatriki system. But in the age of Kali, one can satisfy and worship the Supreme Personality of God in Hari simply by chanting the holy name. In this way, we can see that there's a lot of evidence in the scriptures about the chanting of the holy name, and that it is not some obscure idea, a sectarian idea that was developed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has a somewhat unusual understanding of the Vedic literature. Mm-mm. That is not the case. The case is that people in general do not actually have a very complete overview of the meaning of the Vedas. Although many people know something about Vedic tradition, how much do they really know? So many things are just being performed because they are tradition. Recently in our retreat in Sydney, in Govinda Valley, I told a story about a marriage which was organized by a mother for her daughter. And it was a huge arrangement and everything was fine. She hadn't forgotten anything, went all over the whole arrangement. And then last minute, in the middle of the whole arrangement, a black cat. Oh my God. Just what you don't want, right? At the time of a marriage, something inauspicious like a black cat. Something like that. What to do, what to do, what to do. There was no more time, the guests were there, and everything was arranged, and everyone was coming in. What she did, there was an empty flower basket. She took the basket, put it on top of the black cat. Finished. And that cat was quiet throughout the whole ceremony. She was praying the whole time, don't let this cat meow or anything. Nothing happened. Everything went very smooth. And the marriage was fine. 30 years later, now the daughter in turn was arranging for her marriage, for her daughter's marriage. So again, the whole arrangement, checklist and everything, nothing forgotten, everything there, and everything was complete until last minute she realized, oh my God, there is one thing missing. What is it? A black cat. We need a black cat somehow or other. Right? Everywhere desperately looking for a black cat. Just last minute they brought a black cat. Quick, a basket on top of the black cat. It has to be there. Since then, no marriage is complete without a black cat under a basket. Make sure when you get married that that black cat is there with that basket. All right. Very important. Yes. My great grandmother, everyone did it. They always put the black cat under the basket. So it shows how the Vedic culture passed on from very sincerely from generation to generation, but slowly, some alterations crept in. And everyone did something. One pundit did one offering, another one did something else, and no one actually understood properly the conclusion of the Vedic scripture. This one was chanting this mantra, that one was doing that tantra, and mostly to impress others, and oftentimes to bring in the donations also, very quickly. Yes, you give the dakshin more. Yes, this. Oh, you're only giving this much. You want to bring inauspiciousness on your family. No. How many lakhs you will give? Dakshin comes only in lakhs. Like that. What can I say? But here we see that we see a very scientific presentation. We see point for point. We see the arguments given with evidence from Vedic scripture. And we see how from many sources, from the Narada Pancharatra, from the Mundaka Upanishad, Narayan Samhita, and then we see Jiva Goswami, we see Srimad Bhagavatam, and so on. We see evidence from various scriptures that are all pointing at the same thing, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Yet, we see that the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is not newly introduced in this age of Kali. That the Hare Krishna Mahamantra was already chanted long before the age of Kali. And so why is it that in the age of Kali so much emphasis is given on the mantra? We have learned from Padma Purana, Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, that this holy name is non different from Krishna. It is the same from Krishna. It is said, if you do some other type of worship, let's say we are fasting, we are giving in charity, so we do austerities. Then we are following a process to obtain a result. We go through the austerity and then hope to gain a result. But it said in the chanting, we have already attained the result. The chanting itself is the result. Therefore, with this chanting, it is the best process. Because other processes, like meditation in the Satya Yuga, was performed for what? For getting a result, right? Of an alteration of consciousness. But the chanting is already there, because the darshan of the Lord is there. The Lord is present when we are chanting. Therefore, the goal is already attained in the chanting. That is to be understood. So the process is actually more direct than... Somebody's phone has to turn that on. Okay. Rajanat.
Our friend will turn on.
Sorry.
Krishna is very strong, unlimited strong. So his servants, they develop all the qualities of Krishna. So, in this way, we see that Krishna is manifest in his name, and therefore this chanting is a special process. So why, in other ages, were they not chanting the holy name? They were. There were also devotees who were chanting the name of the Lord in other yugas, in other ages. But there was one difference, and that difference is katanchana svete yasmin duskaram sukaram bhavet, that in this age of Kali, whatever is difficult is made easy by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So previously you had to chant and chant and chant forever to get the result. Now you chant a little and you very quickly get a benefit. So in that way, especially in this age of Kali, the most potent process is made easy by the added mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore now, especially through the direct process of associating with Krishna, yes, can one make advancement. Previously, one had to perform meditation for a long time. So for a very long time, one had to focus and concentrate and avoid any type of distraction. Now, after a few minutes, is already, oh, how long can we sit? How long can we be quiet? How long can we concentrate? But previously, just for a very long time, one had to concentrate. And austerity was then the necessity. Now, because we are chanting, in the chanting there is Ras, Nama Chintamani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasa, it is full of life and full of taste. Therefore, immediately we are chanting with taste, and because this taste is there, therefore we become enlightened, then we can chant more. And in this way, the process is extremely easy in this holy name. So, I'll read a little more. E agyapayanam layanksham namalaitalayamore brantalman. Since I received this order from my spiritual master, I always chant the holy name. But I thought that by chanting and chanting the holy name, I had been bewildered. Darya daritinari hoylama utan umata hashikani nachigai yache malamata. While chanting the holy name of the Lord in pure ecstasy, I lose myself. And thus, I laugh, cry, dance, and sing just like a madman. Tava darya dari manikari lundichara krishna rame gyanachana. Collecting my patience, therefore, I begin to consider that chanting the name of Krishna has covered all my spiritual knowledge. Pagal hai lami darya nahi mane ita chinti nivedan guru charana. I saw that I had become mad by chanting the holy name, and immediately I submitted this at the lotus feet of my spiritual master. Kiba mantra diya gosai kiba tarvada japite mantra karira bhaga. My dear Lord, what kind of mantra have you given me? I have become pagal, mad, simply by chanting this maha mantra. So now you see the result of this chanting. You will all become pagal. All crazy is pagal. So yes, madness is the result, insanity. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came mad, it says. He was dancing, chanting, falling to the ground. And that will be the result of such chanting. Yes. So he said to his spiritual master, my Lord, what kind of mantra have you given me? I have become mad simply by chanting this Maha Mantra. Hashya nachya mora karya kanda ita suringur hashi balila vachana. Chanting the holy name in ecstasy causes me to dance, laugh and cry. When my spiritual master heard all this, he smiled and thus began to speak. Krishna nama mantra etushta svava ye japitala krishna upajayava. It is the nature of the Hare Krishna mantra that anyone who chants it immediately develops his loving and ecstasy for Krishna. Krishna visayaka prema parma purusharta yayagatina tulya chai purusharta. Religiosity, economic development, sense gratification and liberation are known as the four goals of life. But before love of God, the fifth and highest goal, these appear as insignificant as straw in the street. So this is interesting. A devotee loses all interest in economic development. Not for the sake of... Not that a devotee is not interested in... That chair should stay outside, I hope. Just sit outside, because... No, it's coming in. So, economic development, yes, to maintain, but no longer as the goal. Money, 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 money. So much thinking about money. And I was one time on a flight, and there was only one empty seat on the whole plane next to me. And then one African man, it was a flight from Africa, one tall African man with a big chain, golden chain, the type that drug dealers wear, was coming down the aisle, and he looked like he was from Nigeria, and he came, and sure enough, he sat next to me. And in his hand, he had a book about Pablo Escobar, which was the big drug lord from Colombia. So it was confirmed. Then he also had a magazine. And he opened up his magazine. It was some sort of news magazine. And in there was an article, and it showed how much money different heads of state had stolen. It gave numbers. And the one that was number one in the world was Suharto, according to the magazine, who stole $32 billion. That's a good amount, $32 billion. So he was sitting next to me, and he goes, and he tells, at one point he starts saying, $32 billion. He stole $32 billion. He stole $32 billion from the people. $32 billion he stole. He said he couldn't spend it if he wanted to. $32 billion he stole. He couldn't spend it if he wanted to. He said it about 10 times. And after 10 times, I was also going, $32 billion. He couldn't have spent it if he wanted to. And he got his point across, you know? I mean, it was true. He was right. No, it was true. He was right. How to spend $32 billion is not so easy. Not so easy. You think it's easy, but it's not. As soon as you start spending money, you get entangled like anything. You try. A million, okay, but a billion is getting difficult. $32 billion, you try. So, like that. This is excessive economic development, beyond what we need. In Manila, there was this lady, I think she had something like 4,000 pairs of shoes, some government lady. Do you know the story? What? Yeah, some government lady or something. And Melba Marcos.
A wife to the dictator.
And she had 4,000 pairs of shoes. How many feet did she have? 1,000? You know? Maybe she was one of those centipedes, you know? I mean, how can you have 4,000 shoes, you know? I mean, it's getting a little bizarre, isn't it? So, we take economic development beyond what is reasonable, beyond what is needed. But one loses his interest in such things when one takes to spiritual life. Very, very simple. In Vrindavan, we used to have one gentleman named Dadu. He was an elderly gentleman from Bengal, and he was his service in the temple was to bring to distribute letters. Whatever letters came in the mail, he would bring them to everyone.
I have a letter for you.
He was part of the India under the British Raj. Right? So he had been part of the British administration and worked in British offices, and you know, had in his days dressed like a Britisher, but he still spoke somewhat with a British accent. Yes? And so Dadu, somehow or other, when he became a devotee, he took a vow never to wear shoes again. Yeah? And that was on the topic of shoes. Never to wear shoes again. And he never did, never, but even in his old age. And he just took that very simple service of distributing letters. And everyone liked him. Very simple, very humble, serving everyone. And yes, he was a devotee who was allowed by Krishna to stay in Vrindavan and leave his body in Vrindavan. And if we do so, then we go back to Godhead. So yes, he lost this interest in his previous position due to good education and a career and everything. No interest. And even pension, he didn't care. It is like that. It is a religiosity. To be religious for the sake of being religious or being attached to ritual. To all kinds of ritual. This morning the yajna was nice and simple. I don't know if you noticed both, but it was spiritually very potent because he had the four shastras being read. He had the soft, or not so soft, sometimes, kirtan in the back. It was noises from all sides, but the thing was, it was the holy name was there, Prabhupada's books were there, the essence of the Vedas were there. There was not so much of the mantra and tantra, although he knows it, but he didn't do it so much because he focused on the essence, that is Vaishnava. Vaishnava is not overly attached to the ritual. The Vaishnava is attached to Krishna and to pleasing Krishna. And therefore, whatever glorification of Krishna is there, yes. But for example, one could have many rituals that we could perform to make sure there is no inauspiciousness in the room. We could do that. Before we would have come into this room, I could have done a major puja in the room just to make sure that there would be no inauspicious influences in the room, just in case, you know. And some might say, why didn't the Swami do that puja? He should have done. But I'm telling you, how can there be anything inauspicious in Prabhupada's room? Right? It's not possible, because Prabhupada is here. So he brought all the auspiciousness, so there is no inauspiciousness. I have a similar story for you about Krishna from the Gopal Champu. That we recall that when Krishna lived in Dwarka, that at that time there was a grahan, an eclipse, a full eclipse, a Surya grahan, eclipse of the sun was being predicted. So everyone was worried about it, and Vasudev decided that they should all go to Kurukshetra to perform a big sacrifice there. So therefore, the entire family of the Yadus went to Kurukshetra. And a big arrangement for a sacrifice was being made, and all on the order of Vasudeva, and he was arranging for everything. It is said just at that time, Nanda Maharaj was also coming to visit, and Nanda Maharaj arrived. And when Krishna saw Nanda Maharaj, then Krishna just showed so much, he became so emotional, and Nanda Maharaj also became so emotional, and Vasudev had never seen him like that. Then he said out loud, it's not surprising that Krishna is so attached to Nanda Maharaj. After all, although Nanda Maharaj is not his real father, but of course, he stayed there for a long time. So you can see, yeah. And then, you know, Nanda Maharaj didn't even hear that. He just saw Krishna. And Krishna saw Nanda Maharaj. Then a brahmana came and he said to Vasudev, please, please, you must come. You must come now for the sacrifice. so that we can counteract the inauspicious influence of the eclipse. And Jiva Goswami has some narrators who tell the story and they say, but what is the question of any inauspiciousness when Krishna is there? So the whole sacrifice was not required because Krishna was present. Nanda Maharaj understood that. Nanda Maharaj understood no need for the yajna. But Vasudev, no, he wanted to do the yajna, to ward off the inauspiciousness. So here we see something between the mood of Dwarka and the mood of Vrindavan. This is very interesting. How in the mood of Dwarka there is this Aishwarya, all this opulence. So they are into the external ritual. Yeah? And for the sake of the Dharma and everything. But in Vrindavan, it's okay. We have Krishna, whatever. When Krishna is here, everything is auspicious. Where is Krishna? The gopis have that same mood. So one who chants the holy name of Krishna becomes like that, goes for the essence, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Wherever there is Krishna, no need. It's like if you want and you move in your new house, I can come, I can put one pumpkin. Yes, I can make a face on that pumpkin. Yes, I can. And we hang it on a string, and then I come in, right? And then, first very peaceful, everything. Suddenly, I take your pumpkin, I throw it on the ground, I kick your pumpkin, I stick, I burn your pumpkin, I throw out your pumpkin, out of the house, out. Yes? I can do with your pumpkin. And of course, they will be very happy. Then all the inauspiciousness that was in that house has entered into the pumpkin. By mantra, I make all the inauspicious presence, whatever is there on the subtle plane, what was that? The wind. There was no wind. There's somebody in the house. Nobody is there. Now that all the inauspicious influences taken out of the house, like that. All it takes is a pumpkin. Alright. So this we can do, yes, absolutely. But what we also can do is we can invite all the devotees. And they will come in your house and they'll have a loud kirtan. And just the name of Krishna alone means Krishna is present in your house. No more need for any pumpkins. No more need for all this out. No, not needed. Simply we will bring Krishna in the form of kirtan. All inauspiciousness disappeared. That is the point. Wherever there is Krishna, doesn't Gita say, Yata Krishna Yogeshwara, Tata Sri Vijayo Bhutir? Doesn't he say, there will be victory, there will be auspiciousness, everything will be there. Everything. So Vaishnava understands. The ritual is a lower level. This idea that through magic, some pumpkin, yes, there is some pumpkin, it sounds like a fairy tale, you know? And I remember in the fairy tales there was a pumpkin, they turned it into a coach, and then it became pumpkin again, something like this. So it sounds like that magic, you know? Oof, pumpkin ritual, yes. Yes. But we have Krishna. Because ultimately, the point is that through such mantras, yes, one can do something, undoubtedly. And so we chant Hanuman Chalisa on all the windows. Every window. Yes. Just to make sure that nothing will happen. Okay? And black cats under the basket. So, like that, we are into the ritual. But when we understand the essence of the ritual is when the boss When the boss is purified, when the boss is satisfied, you don't have to go through the normal procedures. If the boss is satisfied, say, yeah, okay. You surpass everything. Therefore, when we turn to Krishna, it is not required. Of course, some way of making offerings to Krishna are also there, but it becomes simplified. But yet, the bhakti increases. The dedication must increase. So we are not so concerned. Like I was in one house program, and they had the people had cooked a meal, pure vegetarian and so on, and they asked our devotees to offer it. So the devotees did that, and then one brahmachari, he had two people stand with a harinam chal, and the offering was going on behind the harinam chal, and then suddenly a lot of smoke, a lot, and bells, ting, 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 smoke, and everyone said, wow, now it's really prasadam, so much smoke. But it is not like that, right? It is, the smoke is one bundle of incense, right? All right, a big bundle of incense, that is the smoke. It is not about how many bells or how much smoke. It is simply about the bhakti. About how one is dedicated to Krishna, the purity in the heart. That is what counts. When the pure devotee offers it very simple, yes, but he does it with the full bhakti, then the full potency is there. So we must understand the difference between bhakti and the difference between ritualistic activity. And that bhakti is beyond all ritualistic activity. And that the chanting of Hare Krishna brings us to the point of developing love, love for Krishna. And that one goes beyond ritual. Oh, yeah, dharma, artha, kama, sense gratification. Well, we're in Australia. Sense gratification, yeah. Australia, come on, you know. Here to enjoy, and this is not the land of austerity, it is the land of abundance in Australia. Everything is available in Australia, and you know, we don't put not just little, you know, we put lots of butter, lots of cheese, lots of cream, and with lots of avocado and lots and lots, you know, heaps, right? Heaps of everything. That's the mood. The mood is not one of austerity in this country. I don't know if you noticed, but that's not that's not the spirit, not at all. So, what shall we say? Sense gratification, yes. But it loses its taste when Krishna is not part of it. We can enjoy it, but Krishna must be connected to it. Otherwise, what's the point? We were from Govinda Valley, we drove away, and there are all these people, they are jumping off the cliff with their hang gliders, right? Good luck, you know? They have tendons also, you can go with two at the same time, in a sort of a sleeping bag, hanging under that thing, all zipped up, and then you fly, and your next life you can be a bird. Yeah. And it might come sooner than you think. Straight down. All in the name of sense enjoyment. But all that looks so meaningless, right? How can you waste your life like that? Bungee jumping, you know, bungee jumping, wow. Did you ever do it? Anyway, even in one sannyasi who did it. But he's very powerful. But to me, for him it was transcendental, but for ordinary people, what do we have to do? Bungee jumping? In Amsterdam, they don't just do bungee jumping, they have a couple and they hold on to each other and then they jump together and then they bump like that. I think if your marriage doesn't work anymore, you can try that. It definitely brings you closer. Absolutely. If you grow apart, that might help. Yeah, it's like, so, okay, but it's not really, so in the name of sense gratification, what are we doing? And the ordinary things don't work anymore. Something new, something exciting. So all that looks empty, so everything disappears. Mukti, who wants mukti? Mukti is not desirable. The devotee doesn't want mukti. Why not? Because in mukti you become free from this birth and death, you become free from this material body. But then what? We don't want mukti, we want seva. We want seva to Krishna. You see how this Chaitanya Charitamrita is just cutting through everything. It was a bit cutting, this verse. And all that comes from the holy name. For a devotee who has actually developed bhava, the pleasure derived from dharma, artha, kama, moksha appears like a drop in the presence of the sea. It is that bhava. Yes, to just simply chant the holy name. So much bhava. In Sri Mayapur, we see that everything is big. The whole town is like that. The Ganga is very large, very powerful. If you compare that to the Yamuna, then the Ganga is many times more powerful and huge. Then nature in Mayapur is so abundant due to the climate there, the humidity, everything grows just in abundance. Vrindavan is dry. Vrindavan, sometimes in the rainy season, things get green and very beautiful, but otherwise it is quite dry. The Mayapur is lush and green and everything grows and so many fruits are naturally growing. Everything is there. Jackfruit is there, coconuts are there, bananas in abundance, mangoes, papayas, everything you can imagine. Amrut, you name it, so many different fruits are there in Bengal. Bengal is like that. In the holy dharma of Sita Mayapur, Lord Chaitanya is showing his mood of Namama Varanya, or being the most magnanimous incarnation of the Lord. He is none other than Krishna, that same Krishna, who now, in the mood of Srimati Radharani, has become golden and extremely compassionate. Because Srimati Radharani, being the female counterpart of Krishna, is by nature soft-hearted. And therefore when Krishna was challenged, by me once, that one thing you don't know, O Krishna. Krishna says, one thing I don't know? I am all-knowing. Scriptures are confirming. I am all-knowing. No, Rukmini said. One thing you don't know. She's like, what is that thing that I don't know? She said, that one thing that you don't know. You don't know what it is like to experience love of God. And Krishna was shocked. And he was thinking, yes, I know everything about everything, but that thing I don't know. And it began to puzzle him, and eventually brought him to the point where he decided, all right, I will come in the mood of my devotee, my topmost devotee, Srimati Radharani. I will take that very mood. And when he took that very same mood, he did not just take that mood, but he turned golden, like she is. He didn't just take the mood, he took the complexion completely in that same mood. Therefore, suddenly, hard-hearted Krishna, not so hard-hearted, but in comparison to Srimati Radharani, became softer. Normally Krishna is saying, Sarvadharman Pejaya Mamekam Saranam Braja Aham Tom Sarvapabe Vyo Moksha Isyami Masuchaha. Abandon all variety of faith and activities. Just surrender unto me. I will remove all the reactions to your sinful activities. Do not fear. So normally there are conditions. There are some conditions. The condition of surrender. But in the case of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, no. It's just abundantly available. Vrindavan, it's said when Krishna is roaming about with his cowherd boys and calves, they go into the forest, and the whole day the gopis and the elders are waiting for Krishna to return. In the evening, suddenly one gopi on the roof of Yasoda's palace sees dust, dust, dust. Then everybody knows, oh, now Krishna is returning from the forest. So Srila Rupa Goswami is in his Lalita Madhava describing how the pastimes of Krishna are always covered by some darkness. That dust creates some darkness. Therefore they are mysterious and therefore difficult to understand and cannot be, one cannot enter. One can try, but one cannot enter unless one is a pure devotee who is given the adhikar, the authorization to enter. Lord Shiva wanted to enter the pastimes of Krishna and the gopis. So he took a form of a gopi and he just came to Vrindavan. I guess some milk on the head. Apart and walking like this. And just as he was about to sneak in, Krishna saw him and Krishna said, "Oh, Lord Shiva, how are you? I was just looking for you. There are so many intruders who try to sneak into this rasa dance. I just needed someone to stand guard. You are the perfect person." In this way, Lord Shiva became Gopiswar. In Vrindavan, we see this this lingam of Gopiswar, of Lord Shiva, who is guarding the rasa dance. And some days, they're dressing up this lingam as a gopi to remember how Lord Shiva was trying to sneak in to this pastime. So no one can enter. If Lord Shiva cannot enter, then can we enter? Not so simple, not so easy. It takes great bhakti. Therefore, one can go to Vrindavan. Holy, 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 Vrindavan, holy, holy, holy. But that is not the same holy that is played by Krishna. We cannot enter into that. The holy that we see is full of bhang, right? Bhang is the substance, for those who don't know, which is made from the cannabis plant in the form of a drink. Instead of smoking it, they drink it. And it works, apparently. I never took it, but I have seen that it works on people. And So this will not make us enter into the pastimes of Krishna. Then in Mayapur, everything is abundant. Everything is becoming more and more abundant. The worship of Mahaprabhu is gorgeous. It's increasing more and more. Now you go to our temple in Mayapur, more and more is beginning to come. There's a puja here, there's a puja there, there's a darshan here, a darshan there. If you want to go to all of them, it's hard to keep up. At one point, it is not possible anymore, because more and more is emerging, and it is only the beginning. That is the nature of Vrindavan. I was that year that the Panchatattva was being installed, I was the winter in Mayapur, and I saw, I've lived in the past 6 years in Mayapur, so I know Mayapur, and I saw that the flowers in Mayapur that year are twice as big. Twice as big as normal. I mean, I lived there for 6 years, you know what it's like, right? And you can see when the flowers are twice as big as normal. You've got to be blind if you don't see that, right? I saw it, I'm half blind, but not that blind. I could see it, and yes, the flowers were twice as big as normal. Awaiting the appearance of the Panchatattva, it was clear, our Mayapur is like that. The transcendental mercy of Mahaprabhu is very manifest, very much on the surface, actually. So, it is said, if we simply chant the names of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda,
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda,
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Quickly some ecstasy comes, very quickly. It is said this ecstasy that we experience in the chanting of the names of Gaur Nitai is due to the fact that offenses are not considered. In the matter of chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, there are 10 offenses, as we explained this morning, and they have to be avoided. And if we are not carefully avoiding these 10 offenses, then the result of the chanting will be delayed. But in the chanting of the Panchatattva mantra, or if we are chanting the names of Gaur Nitai, then immediately offenses are not counted, and therefore very quickly some bhav will be tasted. Therefore, bhav is there. We are all experiencing it. I mean, now we just sampled it, but in the beginning we got into it. And if we get into it, it gets very ecstatic, very quickly. It is said that ecstasy carries on into the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. And then if we chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, then we will be able to immediately chant that mantra with some taste. Therefore, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is always preceded by the chanting of the Panchatattva mantra. Or, as Srila Narottama Thakur says, Nitai Padabhina Bhai Radha Krishna Bhai Tanai. That we must first take shelter of Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya, then we can get Radha Krishna. Otherwise, these pastimes of Radha and Krishna remain covered by darkness. Then we can be on the outside and we can go and see some Rasleela performance, even in Vrindavan. But then after the performance is over, the actors will be seated at the chai dukan, smoking bidis and having tea. And it is just not the same as when pure devotional drama is performed by pure devotees. When pure devotees, selfless devotees, are acting out the role of devotees, that is extraordinary. That is extraordinary. Srila Prabhupada also, in his youth, was involved in a play. And he said that they were rehearsing for that play for a whole year, and the play was all played by devotees. And Prabhupada played Advaita Acharya with the beard. And when he came on the stage and began to act it out, he said that at one point the audience all started crying. I don't know exactly what the scene was because he didn't describe it, but he said that the audience started crying, he said, because it was played by devotees and the genuine sentiments were there. Genuine sentiments were there, yes. That is the fact. So, if we hear about the pastimes of the devotees, that is very wonderful. And sometimes, when we see a dramatical performance of the pastimes of the Lord, it is very enlightening. In Sydney we had a nice performance of Sudama. It was very good. What is this devotee's name? Who was there? I forgot his name.
You know his name?
I forgot his name. But he played a good Krishna. And Satya Sena played a good Sudama. Because he's old, skinny, and humble. So those are three good qualities for Sudama. Prakash. Everybody's called Prakash now. Prakash, yes. It is a very good Krishna. So, a good drama, it reveals something to us. The actor, he sees something. The actor is deeply meditating on Krishna. And if he is pure, and if he is actually following all spiritual standards and chanting Hare Krishna, then when he's meditating on Krishna, then Krishna will reveal himself through that actor. And Krishna will actually empower him. And then he becomes like Krishna, and he begins to act, and he begins to carry the potency. So his transcendental drama is not ordinary, but must be performed by pure devotees. In this way, Krishna is being revealed through his devotees. The devotees, they bring Krishna to us in different ways. Either they sing, and what they bring is they bring their bhava, their attachment to Krishna, their ecstasy, and then they begin to naturally glorify Krishna, either through speaking about Krishna, or by singing his name, or by performing dramas about Krishna, and then we feel the presence of Krishna in such glorification. That is the bhava that we are experiencing. Such bhava is actually what makes this Krishna consciousness something very different. Very different. Because any other type of worship, yeah, it is always, you do the worship because then you want something else. Right? You worship the devata because you want a reward. Yeah? I work for somebody because I want money. Yeah? Not because I love my boss. No. You know, I love him because he pays me. Yeah? That's it. I work for payment. All that worship is for payment. It's different. But so bhakti is something else. It's based on bhav. The bhav of finding out who Krishna is. And that is the result of chanting. Okay, any questions? Any comments?
You mentioned about Lord Shiva.
Mm-hmm.
How he was not allowed entrance into the temple.
Yeah.
He's the best of the devotees. So,
yeah.
What is our hope then? Is it that he was not following the footsteps of the gopis, and our hope is that we are taking him up the
footsteps? Yeah. So he's in another bhav. As a great devotee, he is especially in his Sadashiva form. There are two forms of Lord Shiva. Between, there is the spiritual world, which are Goloka, the Vaikuntha planets, within the Brahma Jyoti. Then we have the separation of the material spiritual world is the Viraja River. Okay? That Viraja River is also known as causal ocean. There we have the resident Mahavishnu, and we also have the expansion of Mahavishnu, which is Sadashiva. So on the spiritual side of the Viraja River is the abode of Sadashiva. He is worshipping Sankarsan, right? An expansion of the Lord. So he's completely dedicated, devoted to Sankarsan. Then, when the material creation is about to take place, the material nature during the night of Brahma is not manifest. And then it exists in its potential, like the tree is existing in the seed, but it's not there. Yes, it's in the potential. The three modes of material nature are absent, because they, this is his favorite topic. That's all right, he's expert at it. But the three modes, we have big discussions on this. The three modes of material nature are in equilibrium, and therefore they are not manifest, and therefore not present, like two forces that push in opposite directions come to zero. So there are no three modes of material nature in Viraja at all. And then it is said the pradana is the unmanifested state of matter. Then when Lord Mahavishnu glances, Savai Akshata Ekshata, he glances, the Lord glances. In the glance of the Lord, that glance becomes Shambhu. Shambhu then carries with him all the living beings, and Shambhu is then entering into pradana, which becomes activated, and all the living being enters, and we have mahatattva, all the material elements, etc., and everything comes into an active state. At that state, Brahma Samhita describes what happens to Shambhu. Yata dadi vikara visheshi yogat. It is said that just like from milk, yogurt is coming about due to a transformation of an external agent. So when Sadashiva comes into contact with the material energy, then Sadashiva transforms. Jiva Goswami said, then he's like a lamp, and the glass of the lamp now becomes covered by soot, by black, from the smoke, and the full light no longer comes through. Then the Sadashiva is the Lord in his full potency, Lord Shiva in his full potency, and he is Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu. Whereas in the Rudra expansion, he is in a different path and different consciousness. Now, the evidence for these statements is found in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and it is also extensively explained by Prabhupada's god brother Sridhar Maharaj, who Prabhupada respected as very learned. Yeah. Alright, so we understand there are two manifestations of Shiva, one on the spiritual side, one on the material side. There's a difference. Yeah. On the spiritual side, Sada Shiva, Vaishnavam Yata Shambhu, who is he worshipping? Sankarsan, Vishnu expansion of the Lord. So, not the original Krishna from Golok. Therefore, he could not enter. No, sorry, his bhav was not that of Golok. Only those who have that bhav of Golok can enter. Lord Brahma was meditating also. He also wanted to enter. He was meditating for 60,000 years on the dust of the feet of the gopis, trying to understand it. Couldn't understand it after 60,000 years. Not possible. Lakshmi Devi, she could not enter either. She did austerities, could not enter, because her mood is Vaikuntha. So therefore, in order to enter into a Rasa Lila, not only should one be a pure devotee, but one must be a pure devotee in the mood of Raja Bhakti. in the mood of unalloyed devotional service without any desire for awe and reverence or opulence, simply serving Krishna without expecting anything. Yeah. No. So the residents in Vrindavan, they're in that mood. The gopis, they are called by Krishna, by Bhansiva, by his flute. And then the gopis, when they're called away, they become socially impossible. They are young ladies, some of them are married, and they just leave their house in the middle of the night. Can you imagine? And this is 5,000 years ago when Vedic culture was still prevalent. Inconceivable. They were outcasts after that. They didn't care. They had no interest in anything, only Krishna. For that they are glorified. That's only in Vrindavan. When Uddhava came, Uddhava was in Dwarka, the greatest devotee. Krishna would sit in Dwarka on a throne in the center. Then left from him was, no, sorry, to the right from him was Vasudev. To the left from him were personalities like Satyaki, and right in front, a little to the front of Krishna, but on the right, was Ugrasena on the throne because he was the ruling king. So they're sitting in a formation like that. And then Uddhava. Uddhava was the closest friend to Krishna. He was the closest devotee in Dwarka. And Uddhava was the disciple of Brihaspati and very learned. And therefore Uddhava could speak in very complicated Sanskrit verses and hints that no one would understand except Krishna. So they had their own secret language, so they were so intimate. And then Uddhava was sent to Vrindavan as a messenger because the residents of Vrindavan were so much in separation. And then Uddhava saw how the residents of Vrindavan were going mad. They were not only attached to Krishna, they were going mad. Mother Yasoda was chastising Nanda Maharaj. How could you let Krishna go with Akrura? How could you do this? How could you let him go? And Nanda Maharaj was saying, you mad woman, don't you know that Krishna just went to the forest and that he's going to be back this evening? Right? Are you out of your mind? See, they're going mad. Radharani's speaking to the bumblebee and, you unreliable servant of an unreliable master, taking honey from every flower. I know your master very well. Yes, you can tell him I'm not interested. Just then the bumblebee disappears. Think, oh my God, now he's going to tell everything to Krishna. But then shortly after, the bumblebee came back and she started to glorify Krishna to the bumblebee. So, like this, she got mad. And Uddhava realized, I have no love at all. So, the intensity. Remember, Vasudev was doing the yajna to ward off the inauspiciousness. Nanda Maharaj saw no inauspiciousness. He saw only Krishna. Everything was auspicious. So, that love of Vrindavan is only available to the residents of Vrindavan. One must become a servant of the residents of Vrindavan. That is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teaching.
Well, you mentioned Lord took the form or came at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for a reason.
Uh-huh.
And I'll pause there and then put the hypothesis behind it. Is it mandatory to have a reason for everything that Lord has done? And we must know that. It's part one. And the part two of that is anything beyond Lord? Why can't he conceive and perceive and feel and experience the mood of Radharani? He's the Supreme Lord. He can do anything. If Radharani could conceive it, so be it. So Krishna can conceive it as well. Unless it's his desire.
Okay, number one, the first question is, yes, the Lord has a reason and for everything he does, and the Lord has multiple reasons. The Lord is described in the Nectar of Devotion as Daksha. The name Daksha means expert. It's that Krishna is very expert because he can really do multitasking. Not just a little bit, but he fulfills many purposes all at once and many reasons all at once in Krishna. So yes, he always has a purpose, he always has a reason. The main reason that Krishna has, the ultimate reason, is to increase the ocean of transcendental love. Okay? That ocean of transcendental love is it is made up of the love of all the devotees. There are unlimited devotees in the spiritual world and also in the material world, but there are many in the material world who have forgotten. So whatever devotion all these devotees have, and the devotion that Krishna has for his devotees, that makes up his ocean of transcendental love. Within this ocean of transcendental love, so many amazing services are rendered both by Krishna's devotees and by Krishna. And in order to make this ocean of transcendental love possible, it is only possible if Krishna also allows himself to be controlled. In Golok, only in Golok is the situation there that the devotees forget that Krishna is God. Why is that? Only in Golok there is the influence of Yogamaya. That influence of Yogamaya is a type of illusion which is unlike the material, Mahamaya. It is a type of illusion that covers devotees. Why? Well, for the sake of rasa, for the sake of loving exchange. Just imagine a cowherd boy comes up from the back to Krishna, covers his eyes, and says, "Guess who I am?" And Krishna says, "I am the all-knowing, all-pervading Supreme Lord. I knew your intentions before you even thought of them." I mean, you know, end of cowherd boy lila, you know what I mean? I'm not playing with him anymore. Krishna would lose all his cowherd boy friends, you can just imagine. So in order to make the rasa possible, there is Yogamaya. Rasa is more important than anything else. We tend to think of power. Yeah, you see? We tend to think of Krishna in terms of power. He is all-powerful. He is the Supreme Lord. No. In the spiritual world, rasa is all-powerful. And Krishna is also controlled by it. And therefore, he must be under Yogamaya. If Krishna would be able to second-guess everything that would go on in Srimati Radharani, there would be no more relationship. The relationship would be dead. That would be not possible. Yeah. Why? Because there must be some adventure. There must be some excitement. There must be some need for the unknown, the unexpected. To build the tension between Radha and Krishna, Krishna is controlled by Radha, and Krishna does not know what she thinks. When she goes in a state of man, a state of anger, because Krishna has, so is it rumored, visit the grove of Chandravali and been unfaithful, then Krishna doesn't know if she's going to come down from that platform of anger or not. Krishna, who's neglected her, is then thinking to himself, How could I have possibly? How could I have done it? He's condemning himself. He is suffering. He is basically realizing that all I can do now is, in great humility, trying to regain her favor, repent, and somehow or other. And then, well, when she so desires, she may melt and cast some mercy at him. Such exchange of rasa is there. It is not possible if he is all-knowing and all-pervading. She is his counterpart. She is an independent counterpart. Although she is his energy, his Ladini Shakti, due to the influence of Yoga Maya, she is given independence because Krishna agrees to be covered by Yoga Maya, so that rasa can take place. Without it, it wouldn't be possible. See, there wouldn't be that tension. Like even in this world, women are mysterious to men. They are very expert in being mysterious, in speaking indirectly, in being unclear and confusing as to what they feel and what they think. Men are puzzled by women. Like, what is going on? That is a reflection of the spiritual world.
Yeah, perfect. Well, you've given me the answer, so there's no question, but I guess the analogy that I was thinking, it's true not just for the relationship between Krishna and Radharani, but it's true for everything that Krishna performed, be it even Yashoda Maya or be it Nand Maharaj, everything
correct.
Is the same.
Yes, in Sanskrit it's called Akila Rasamrita Murti. Krishna is the complete manifestation of all rasas. Yes. Kira Rasamrita Murti. Correct.
Thank you.